Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
It is July the 8th. We are in Treyasar, we're in Zechariah. We are in Parakhes chapter 8. We started it last time, so we're up to Pasuk Zion, verse 7. Komar Hashem Tzvakos, so says Hashem, Hineni Moshia Es Ami Me'eretz Mizrach. I am going to save my nation from the lands of the east, U'me'eretz Mevo HaShamesh, and from the land of the setting sun. Which means, from east to west, I'm going to save my people all around. I'm going to bring them back from Golos. Ve'vi'isio Sama, I'll bring them. V'shachnu B'soch Yerushalayim, they will dwell within Yerushalayim. V'hayu li la'am, and they will be for me as a nation. V'ani eye lahem le'lukim, and I will be for them as Hashem. Be'emes uvitzdaka, with truth and with righteousness, it will be the way it's supposed to be. Komar Hashem Tzvakos, so says Hashem, techezakna yedeichem, you should strengthen your hands. Hashomim bayamim ha'ele, those who hear in these days, es hadvarim ha'ele, these words, mipi ha'neviim, from the mouths of the prophets. Now remember, we had fast-forwarded. Zechariah began in the second year of the king of Artaxasta, and now we're in the fourth year. And the second year is when they were originally given the command to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and now we're in the fourth year. So Hashem says, Zechariah says in the name of Hashem, that you should strengthen your hands, have confidence. Those today who heard from the mouths of the Nevi'im, Asher biyom yusad beis Hashem tzvakos, that on the day that the house of Hashem was founded, in other words, that we began to rebuild it, hahechol lihibanos, the sanctuary to be built, on that day, 2 years ago, when we first got the nevuah that we should rebuild, so says Hashem, I want you to remember what things were like then, and look at the way things are now. I want to highlight the difference. It's 2 years. They're still in the middle of building the Beis HaMikdash. It takes several years to build it. Hashem says, I want you to notice what happened over the past 2 years. Even though things are not great yet, the Beis HaMikdash is not totally rebuilt. There are still threats to the people, the non-Jews living around. The Jews are giving them trouble. But notice there's a big difference. Pasuk Yud, verse 10. Because before that time, there was no profit for man, nor was there profit for beast, for animal. That means, Rashi explains in the Gemara, that means that there was no work to be had for a person. A person economically could not make a living. That means Jews couldn't make a living. And they couldn't make a living off of their land either. Schara behema, the profit off of an animal, means to have their fields worked. That was another way to make money. If you owned land, you could hire out the land to somebody else to work the field, and you could make money that way. That also was not possible. Economically, the Jews were in dire straits. And in those days, v'layotze v'laba ein shalom minatzar, and for those who were leaving, those who were coming, there was no peace from those who were terrorizing them. Vashalaches kol ha'adam ish bireyehu, and I sent each man against his friend. There was strife amongst people. It was not good before 2 years ago. Va'ata, but now, lo chayamim harishonim ani, that I didn't make the now like the original days, like it was before. Lisheri sa'amazeh, for the remnant of this people, num Hashem tzvako, says Hashem. Now look around, it's different. Kizera hashalom, hagefen titen pirya, because the zera, the sowing, the harvest, the planting is peaceful, the vine gives its fruit, and the land gives off its bounty, and the heavens give their due, and I have bestowed upon the remnant of this people all these things. So you see that things have changed, even though things aren't perfect, but look at the improvement. And it is that
the way that you had been a curse amongst the nations, Beis Yehuda or Beis Yisrael, the house of Yehuda, the house of Yisrael, meaning that you were the curse of the nations. People would curse you, would degrade you. Kain Oshia Eschem, so I will save you. V'yisem Barachan, you will be a blessing. Al Tirau, do not be afraid. Techezakna Yedechem, strengthen your hands. Kicho Amar Hashem Tzvakos, for so says Hashem. Kasher Zamamti Lahara Lachem, just like in the past that I had plotted to do evil to you, to punish you. Be'aktsif Avoseichem, O see, when your ancestors angered me. Amar Hashem Tzvakos, says Hashem, V'lo Nichamti, I did not change my mind. In those days, they sinned, and I decided to punish them. I did not change my mind. I did punish them. Kain shavti zamamti bayamim ahele. So I have returned, and I have, again, that word plotted. It means to plan. In these days, lahiti ves Yerushalayim, to do good for Yerushalayim, ves beis Yehuda, in the house of Yehuda. Al tirou, do not be afraid. It's going to happen. It will all be good. So the Navi is saying that even though things are not perfect, but I want to point out to you, look at the difference from 2 years ago to now. Look how improved things are. Economically, things are much better. You have better standing. You are no longer degraded and cursed by all the nations. Things are much better now than they were before, even though they're not perfect. Now, it is important to note that the Navi needs to tell this to them. See, 2 years earlier, they were in terrible, terrible straits. Economically, from a societal level, they were in terrible position. They didn't have any rights. It was really bad. Now, things aren't great, but they're much better. So why does the Navi need to tell them, you know, strengthen yourselves, have confidence? I mean, isn't it obvious? Look where we were 2 years ago. Look where we are now. But the fact of the matter is, it's not human nature. Human nature is to be worried and to realize, see the bad, and things aren't good, and we have this problem and that problem, and we don't notice the improvement. Or we might notice it, but we're not some leaf. We don't think about the improvement. Instead, we just stay nervous about the whole thing. So the Navi is saying, no, strengthen yourself, have confidence, look where Hashem is taking you. Hashem obviously is interested in your well-being, not in your having trouble, that things should go well. Clearly that is the case. Now, we're going to continue, but going back for a moment to the Pasuk Yud, verse 10, the Pasuk says that before these days, so there was no profit to man nor to beast. There was no way to make any money. And for those who were going and those who were coming, there was no peace from the terrorizer. And I sent each man against his friend. The Gemara, in listing the signs of the impending arrival of Mashiach, one of the things it says is, if you see a generation, it says that one of the things that is a clear sign of the coming of Mashiach is this pasuk. That if you see that there is no profit for man nor for beast, and there's no peace for anybody who going in, going out from the terrorizer, things are so bad, then you know that we're on the cusp of the coming of Ben David, of Mashiach's arrival. The Gemara says, what does it mean for the one who is leaving, the one who is coming, Ein Shalom Min Hatzar, there's no Shalom from the terrorizer. So the Gemara says, this means Afilu Talmidei Chachamim, that there's no peace
even for the Torah scholars, as the Gemara explains, even though Talmidei Chachamim Marbim Shalom Ba'olam, that we know we have a guarantee that Torah scholars increase peace in the world, that the more Torah scholars there are, the more peace there should be. So they should have the most peace, but if you see a situation where even the Talmidei Chachamim are not at peace, then you know that Mashiach is right around the corner. But the Gemara says, what does it mean not to have peace? It says, min hatsar, from the terrorizer. So the Gemara says, this has two meanings. The simple meaning is, from those who would terrorize us, the anti-Semites, those who would hurt us, those who would trouble us. That's the simple meaning. Even the Talmidei Chachamim are being mistreated. That is one interpretation. But the other interpretation, very relevant, I think, for us, is V'layot Seva Laba, for those who are leaving, for those who are coming, Ein Shalom, there is no peace, even for a Talmud Chacham, Min Hatzar, from the Yetzer Hara, from the evil inclination. That even the Talmud Chacham is beset by his Yetzer Hara. Even the Talmud Chacham, who you would expect, should have the most control over his Yetzer Hara, the one who should be beset the least by his Yetzer Hara because of all the Torah that he learns, but the temptations are so great, and there is such a difficult thing for one to tame their Yetzer Hara, that even the Talmidei Chachamim have to struggle mightily. If that is the generation you're in, then you know that Mashiach is right around the corner. And that certainly speaks to our generation, where in certain ways the Yetzer Hara is stronger than it has ever been before. Yetzer Hara manifests itself differently in each generation. What was the struggle of the last generation is not the struggle of this generation. What was the struggle of two generations ago is not the struggle of this generation now, nor was it the same struggle as three generations ago. Every generation has their own unique struggle. To give an example of something which the struggle for it is so different, it's almost difficult to believe it ever happened. But we know there was a period of time within the past 100 years where the primary struggle, or one of the primary communal struggles of the Jews in America, was not to work on Shabbos. That was the overriding struggle with the Yetzer Hara. Should I work on Shabbos? Shouldn't I work on Shabbos? If I don't work on Shabbos, what's going to be with my family? How am I going to feed them? How am I ever going to have a job? That was a major, major issue which separated people. It determined who ended up staying from and who didn't. And the vast majority of people did not stay from. That was a struggle which we don't have in the same way today. Of course, there's always a struggle to keep Shabbos. But the difference is that today, that a person with a job in a business is in a situation where they will get fired if they do not work on Shabbos, that is nearly unheard of. It's not unheard of, but it is nearly unheard of today. There are other struggles. I don't want to give up the money. The boss won't like it. There are certainly struggles, but it's nothing like it was then. And then the question was, we might starve to death if I don't work on Shabbos. That was the struggle, which we don't have today. That was the struggle of that generation. Our generation is a completely different one. But the struggles of our generation, the struggle that we have with the abundance and the temptations that come along with the abundance, with the material success that we have, with the ability to access materialism so easily in all forms, in every way, our generation has got to be the one with the greatest struggle. I don't want to say in the history of the world, because that's a long time and who knows what really came before us, but certainly in the past couple of thousand years. that we have this struggle far more intensely than anyone before us, in at least since the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And it certainly speaks to us when it says that even the Talmidei Chachamim have no peace from the Tsar, from the terrorizer, meaning from the Yetzer Hara, from the temptations of the day. Pasuk Tezayin, verse 16. Eila advarim asher ta'asu. So these are the things you should do in order for this to happen, for the geula, for the redemption to happen. Dabru emes ish es reyayu. Each man should speak truth, one to the other. Emes umishpat shalom shiftu b'sharechem. Truth and justice of peace you should make sure happen in your gates. You should judge in your gates. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, there are two different Mishnayos. One Mishnah, the more famous Mishnah, says, Al shlosha dvarim ha'olam omed, the world stands on three things, ala Torah, ve'ala avoda, ve'al gmilus chasadim, Torah, avoda, service, and gmilus chasadim, and loving kindness. But there's another Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that says, Al shlosha dvarim ha'olam omed, the world stands on three things, al hadin, ve'ala emes, ve'ala shalom. On din, that's justice or judgment, and emes, truth, and shalom and peace. That Mishnah that says the world stands on three things, on din, emes, and shalom, concludes, how do we know this? Shenemar, because the verse says, in Zechariah, Perek Ches, Pasuk Tezayin, chapter 8, verse 16, emes u'mishpat shalom shiftu b'sha'arechem. Emes, which is truth, mishpat, which is din, which is judgment, and shalom. That's what you should seek out in your gates. And that is because it is on these three things the world rests, the world lasts. The Yerushalmi says, din brings to emes, and emes brings to shalom. What does that mean? Says the Karban Ha'edah, which is the comment, one of the major commentaries to the Yerushalmi, that in order to have emes, in order to have truth, you need din. You need justice or judgment. You need laws. You need rule. You need rule of government in order to have emes, in order to have truth. Without laws, there will be no truth. Because people naturally are inclined to try to take what is not theirs and to try to get what is they don't deserve. That is the way people are. The primary tool we have to combat that is the laws that society places upon ourselves. And that is din. That is justice. That is judgment. And that is a necessary component to have a functioning society. We know that dinin is one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. It's one of the seven Noachide laws, is dinim. There is a difference of opinion what the word dinim means, but one of the main opinions is that dinim means that the rest of the world that only has seven laws, one of the laws is that they must have a court system that sets up laws. That's an important thing. They have to have that. Society does not function without law. Law and order. You need to have law. If you have din, then you can have emes. Then there can be truth. Because once people are forced into a proper mode of behavior, a behavior that is accepted within society, then they are inclined to tell the truth. They are inclined to speak the truth. They are inclined to deal with each other truthfully. And once you have that, then you have shalom. Once people can trust other people to be truthful, once I know that you are likely speaking the truth, and you know that I am likely speaking the truth, why are we likely speaking the truth? Because there is a justice system that is set up, which is meant to prevent us from getting away with falsehood. So since I can trust that you are speaking the truth and you can trust that I am speaking the truth, that therefore can lead to shalom, where there we can have peace and we can have tranquility, we can get along. Absence truth, there cannot be shalom. When there's no trust for each other, then peace falls apart. And therefore these things lead one to the other. Ala din ve'ala emes ve'ala shalom, on justice or a judicial system, on truth and on peace, the system gives over to truth, which gives over to peace. And that is a necessary factor in order for society to function properly. Pasuk Yud-Zayin, verse 17. V'ish es ra'as re'ehu al tachshavu bilvavchem. Each man, the evil of his friend, don't think in your hearts. As Rashi points out, the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of sinas chinam, because of baseless hatred. Here the Pasuk is saying, don't do that. Don't consider the evil of your friend in your heart. Rather, think of their good. Don't think of doing evil to them, of sinas chinam, of baseless hatred. Ushvas sheker al te'ehavu, and a false promise, do not love, don't love falsehood. Ki es kol eila asher sonesi nu'um Hashem, all these things I hated, says Hashem. Hashem hates dishonesty. Hashem hates false promises. And He hates when we plot evil against each other. Hashem, this does not, that word Hashem hates, it's a very strong word to use, but He does. Meaning, of course, it's kiviyachol, so to speak. Hashem doesn't have emotions. But kiviyachol, so to speak, in our terms, that is, Hashem very much does not appreciate falsehood. He does not appreciate baseless hatred. Yurches 18. Vahi dvar Hashem tzvokos elai lemor. The word of Hashem tzvokos was to me saying, Ko'amar Hashem tzvokos, so says Hashem, Tzom haravi, the fast of the fourth, Vitzom hachamishi, and the fast of the fifth. Vitzom hashvi'i, and the fast of the seventh. Vitzom haasiri, and the fast of the tenth. Yiyeh leveis Yehuda lesason ulesimcha, they will be for the house of Yehuda, for joy and for happiness. Ulemoadim tovim, and for yamim tovim, for holidays. V'ha'emes, v'ha'shalom, ehavu, and truth, and peace, love. The truth loves peace. Peace loves truth. What is the fast of the fourth, the fast of the fifth, the fast of the seventh, the fast of the tenth? The fast of the fourth is tonight. Tonight, as you know, is Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, is the 17th of Tammuz. Tammuz is the fourth month of the year. Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz. Tammuz is number four. And therefore, Shiva Asar B'Tammuz is the fast of the fourth. Very appropriate that we're learning this tonight. What's the fast of the fifth? Well, you can figure that out. That's the next month. That would be Tisha B'Av, of being the fifth month. What is the fast of the seventh? Skip ahead. What's the seventh month? After Av comes Elul, which is the sixth month. And the month after that, the seventh month, is Tishrei. What fast takes place in Tishrei? Not Yom Kippur, because Yom Kippur is not a fast that fits into this list, as we'll see in a moment. Rather, that is referring to Tzom Gedalia. Tzom Gedalia, which is in Tishrei, after Rosh Hashanah. And then finally, the Tzom Asiri, the fast of the tenth. What is the tenth month? Tishrei is the seventh. Cheshvan is the 8th, Kislev is the 9th, and Teves is the 10th. So what would be the fast of the 10th? So I'm sure you have all guessed by now that it is Asara B'Teves, the 10th of Teves, which happens in the 10th month. However, that is a good guess, and it is true according to one opinion. There is another opinion, though, about this 10th fast, which means the fast of the 10th, which means the fast that takes place in the month of Teves. And that would be on the 5th of Teves. Question is, who's heard of the fast of the 5th of Teves? If you haven't heard about it, don't worry about it, because there's no reason why we would have heard about it, because we don't observe it today. But there was a fast on the 5th of Teves. What was the fast on the 5th of Teves? Well, before we do that, let's understand the other fasts over here. We know that tonight, Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, the 17th of Tammuz, is one of the four fast days of the year that are linked to the Churban HaBayis, that are linked to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. We know that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in stages. First, the city was put under siege. There was a siege put around Yerushalayim. That happened on the 10th of Teves. Asara B'Teves, chronologically, is the first of these four fasts. That happened, actually, a couple of years before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, of the first Beis HaMikdash. Then we observe Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. Shiva Asar B'Tammuz actually commemorates five things, but in the context of the Beis HaMikdash, what does it commemorate? It commemorates that the army laying siege to Yerushalayim broke through the walls of Yerushalayim. And they actually entered the city itself on the 17th of Tammuz. The truth is that is true about the second Beis HaMikdash. It happened on the 17th of Tammuz. According to many opinions, the first Beis HaMikdash, they broke through the wall on the 9th of Tammuz. It wasn't the 17th of Tammuz, it was the 9th of Tammuz, a full month before Tisha B'Av. We observe today Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, the 17th of Tammuz, because that is the more recent tragedy, is the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, that is more significant for us than the first Beis HaMikdash. That's why we observe Shiva Asar B'Tammuz rather than Tisha B'Tammuz, the 9th of Tammuz. Either way, in the fourth month, that is when they broke through the wall. And then then comes Tisha B'Av, 3 weeks later after Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, and that, of course, is the destruction of both the first and the second Beis HaMikdash that happened on Tisha B'Av, on the 9th of Av. Then comes Tzom Gedaliah. Tzom Gedaliah chronologically happens last, and that is when the Jews were taken into Galus in the first Beis HaMikdash, they were dragged in chains to Bavel. There were a very small remnant of Jews left behind and allowed to stay behind. And the king appointed Gedaliah ben Achikam to be the governor of the Jews. And he would be his point man, the king's point man, as the governor of the Jews in Eretz Yisrael. But it preserved a very small remnant in Eretz Yisrael. But there was infighting, and Yishmael ben Nesanya, who was a descendant of the kings, he felt that he deserved to be the governor, and he murdered Gedaliah ben Achikam and many others. And because of that, the last remnant of Jews in Eretz Yisrael had to run away. They were scared of the retribution from Nebuchadnezzar. They ran away to Alexandria, and eventually they were killed out in Alexandria. And the last remnant of Jews were expunged from Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, Tzom Gedaliah becomes a fast as well. So those are the four fasts that we have throughout the calendar year. So according to one opinion, the fast of the 10th month, which is in the 10th month, is Asara B'Teves, which therefore the order that the Navi lists the fasts would be in the order of the months. The 4th month, the 5th month, the 7th month, the 10th month. Even though the 1 and the 10th month really chronologically precedes the other three. But it's listed last, the Gemara says, because it follows sequentially based on the months. However, there is another opinion in the Gemara that the fast of the 10th is the 5th of Teves. What's the 5th of Teves? Chronologically, this happened after Tzom Gedaliah. What happened? Eventually, you know that word traveled relatively slowly in those days, and eventually word got back to the Jews in Bavel, in Babylonia, that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. When they heard about it, there was lag time. It was long after the destruction actually happened. When did they find out? They found out on the fifth day of Teves. That's when they heard about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And when they heard, they tore their clothing and they mourned. No different than what is called a Shmua Rechoka, that God forbid someone loses a parent and they don't know about it. They find out about it several months later. That's called a Shmua Rechoka. That's called hearing about a death from a distance. And the rule in the case of a Shmua Rechoka is that the child of the parent who passed away sits Shiva for only one day, not for all 7 days, because it's past the time of Shiva. And so but there is an observance of Shiva when they find out. So here too, the Jews observed the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash as if it happened that day. And they fasted on that day. And so therefore, that is the other opinion of what it means, the fast of the 10th. Either way, the Navi is saying, these fast days will become holidays. That right now we observe them as mourning for the Beis HaMikdash, a terrible thing, but eventually they will become festive days with the construction of the Beis HaMikdash, of the third Beis HaMikdash. The pasuk here ends off v'ha emes v'ha shalom ehavu, that there is love between truth and peace. I'm going to pause for a moment. I see there are some questions that were written in. I'm just going to read over here. Why do the pasuk and the mishnah differ on the order of what comes first, MS or Din? That's a good question. I wonder that myself, going back to the question of Din, MS, and Shalom. Clearly, the order of Din, MS, and Shalom is explained by the Karban Ha'eda and the Yerushalmi, that Din leads to MS, which leads to Shalom. But there must be another reason why one would put it in a different order and put MS first and then Din and then Shalom. I don't know the reason for that order. It could be one of the Mefarshim speaks about it. It is definitely worthwhile to look into that. V'ha emes v'ha shalom ehavu, that love and truth, I'm sorry, truth and peace. There is love between truth and peace. So the Gemara tells us that there was a very important machlokes. There's an important disagreement between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Now we know throughout the Mishnayos that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel have many disagreements. But there was one that would have created a very significant rift between the two camps. The nature of it is somewhat technical. It has to do with Yevamos, with the levirate marriage, where a man dies without children, and his brother is expected to do Yibum, to marry the widow, and if not, to do Chalitza. And there is an entire discussion in the Gemara having to do with Tzaras Habas, which is, again, quite complex and beyond the scope of our shir to get into the exact nuance of that machlokas, of that difference between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. However, what is important for us to note is that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, they had a significant disagreement about whether a certain person could marry somebody else. And the way the machlokes manifested itself, it came out that Beis Shammai permitted a type of marriage that, according to Beis Hillel, would create mamzerim. A mamzer is an illegitimate child that is born to parents who should not have been married to each other, and their marriage is one of kares, that their marriage is one, that their relationship is one that is punishable with kares. There, if they have offspring, God forbid, then that offspring is a mamzer, and a mamzer is not allowed to marry a regular Jew. And so according to the understanding of Beis Shammai, there was a certain marriage they permitted that Beis Hillel held, that the offspring would be a mamzer. And similarly, the other way around, that Beis Shammai held that the marriage that Beis Hillel was permitting was also inappropriate. It also would cause problems. And so this threatened to mean that from then on, Beis Shammai people would only marry within Beis Shammai's camp, and Beis Hillel's people would only marry within Beis Hillel's camp, because each one would be distrustful of the other, that perhaps their children are mamzerim, and therefore they are disqualified from marrying into regular Jewish people. And that is a significant threat, because even though Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel may have disagreed about a lot of things, it's one thing to disagree about kashrus. So you hold this is okay, I hold it's not okay, whatever it is. Okay, so we can work that out. But if it turns out that we can't marry within each other's families, then that really becomes a very, very great separation. So the Gemara tells us that even though they disagreed with each other, still, lo nimnu, they did not hold back, that Beis Shammai married within Beis Hillel, and Beis Hillel married within Beis Shammai. Why? Because they were perfectly and fully upfront with each other. And they were clear with each other, no, this person you can't marry because you hold that this person's this person is a mamzer, therefore you can't marry this person, but this person you can marry because this person was not born from a union that you hold is inappropriate. They were very clear with each other. They didn't hide from each other the yichus, the lineage of each of the people, and they were able to maintain shalom and achva and reus, the Gemara says, brotherhood and friendship between each other, despite their very significant differences. This is, the Gemara brings the pasuk, l'kayem ma'ashenemar, in order to establish what it says, v'ha'emes, v'ha'shalom ehavu, that there is love between truth and peace. They were able to be truthful, and also have peace with each other. Similar to what we learned before from the Karban Eda, that peace is brought about through truth, through trust. That's what's necessary in order to have peace. And even though they did disagree with each other, but they also were truthful and honest with each other, and they were able, therefore, to maintain shalom, and in fact, have marriages between the two camps. The Chazon before Musaf on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, as you know, he chants a small prayer that's called Hineni, and he says that before we listen to the Chazon saying it. Chazon says it out loud, parts of it he says quietly, and then begins the Kaddish before Musaf. Within that prayer, the one of the last things the Chazan says, depending on your minhag, some it is the last thing that the Chazan says, is this phrase, V'ha'emes, V'ha'shalom, Ehavu, there is love between truth and peace. Pasukah, verse 20. Ko'amar Hashem Tzvako, so says Hashem. Od asher yavou amim v'yoshvei orim rabos. It will happen that there will be many nations and many cities that will come. They will come to Yerushalayim. V'holchu yoshvei achas el achas leimar, and one of the residents will go to the other one, saying, "Nel chaloch lechalos es pnei Hashem." We should go to beseech the face of Hashem, ulevakeshes Hashem tzvakos, and to seek Hashem tzvakos, el chagamani, I'll also go. In other words, it will snowball. One will say, I want to go, the other will say, I want to go, this one will say, and then it'll snowball, and there'll be a lot of people, non-Jews, who will come to seek out Hashem. Uvo amim rabim, and many nations will come, v'goyim atzumim, and powerful nations, levakeshes Hashem tzvakos, we shall have to seek out Hashem tzvakos in Yerushalayim. Ulchalos es pnei Hashem, and to beseech Hashem. Kama Hashem tzvakos, so says Hashem, bayamim ahim in those days, asher yachaziku asara anashim mikol lishonos hagoyim, that 10 men from all the languages of the nations will grab hold, ve'achaziku b'chnaf ish Yehudi, they will hold on to the corner of a Jewish man, lemar saying, Ne'alcha imachem, we will go with you, ki shamanu, because we heard Elokim imachem, Hashem is with you. The nations of the world in those days will be desperate to seek out Hashem, and they will not know how. The only thing they're going to know is the Jews know how to access Hashem, and therefore they're going to want to connect with a Jew in order to access Hashem. There will be a deep desire to access Hashem, and they will accomplish that through connecting to the Jewish people. And therefore, 10 men from the nations of the world, languages of the world, how many Lishonos are there? How many languages of the world? There are 70 nations, 70 basic nations. 10 from each of the 70 nations is 700, says the Gemara. That many people will grab hold of the corner, the chnaf, the corner of the Jewish man. How many corners to his garment are there? There are 4 corners. 4 times 700 is 2,800, says the Gemara. Hazohir b'mitzvah tzitzis, a man who is careful with the mitzvah of tzitzis, he will merit to have 2,800 servants serving him in the time of Mashiach in the world to come. This is based on this pasuk because it's 10 from each of the 70 nations, that's 700, and each of the 4 corners, that's 2,800. But what does it mean exactly? What does it mean that these people are going to grab hold of the knaf of the corner? They will recognize that they want desperately to access Hashem. They will realize that the Jews have access, and they will want that access. And they will recognize that the tzitzis, which are the thing that remind the Jews of all of their mitzvos. We know that tzitzis represent the 613 mitzvos. The word tzitzis is the gematria 600. Tzadi, yud. Tzadi is 90, yud is 10. That's 100. Another tzadi and yud. That's another 100. That's 200. And saf is 400. That's 600. And then there are 8 strings and 5 knots. That gives us 613. The tzitzis represent the difference between the non-Jews who have only 7 mitzvos and we who have 613 mitzvos. The nations of the world will recognize that the Jews who adhered to the 613 mitzvos, they have access to Hashem. And therefore they will do whatever they can to be close to the Jews, and fully 2,800 people to each single Jew will come to seek out Hashem. And that is because we will have remained faithful to Hashem, and we will be the way that everybody else will find access to Hashem. We have, therefore, these nevuos, these prophecies about the future and what will happen and how all of these, all the nations of the world will eventually want to connect to Hashem in Yerushalayim. So that leaves us, so that brings us to a point where they are still building the Beis HaMikdash. They're not done yet. And Zechariah still has much to tell us. So we're in the 4th year, which means we're in the middle of the building of the Beis HaMikdash, but we haven't completed it yet, and we will see, Mirz Hashem, in the future weeks, what happens over here.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.